Romans chapter 1, we begin to study in this book. In verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also, the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the word called and separated. So God has a purpose for each one of us in our lives. Well, we're looking at that aspect there about verse 1 still. Called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And let's go in 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. Now, has anyone ever asked you to do something that you really felt unqualified to do? Yeah. We face those situations. And it's the same with Paul in the ministry. We looked at how he didn't run to ask somebody, okay, well, God's calling me to do this. Should I do it? He didn't run and ask anyone that question. And so we're looking at some reasons why he might have felt that way. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 3. 1 Corinthians 2, 3. And I was with you in what? Weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So we're looking at some reasons why, if Paul would have got some advice, why some people would have said, Paul, I know you have a good heart, Paul, even though our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, Jeremiah 17, 9. But people could have said, Paul, I know you've got a good heart. I know, you know, this desire that you have is a good desire to want to serve the Lord and preach the gospel. But Paul, you're just not a public speaker. Many years ago now, I was asked to help judge in a preaching competition for Word of Life young people group. And so did I just go 1 year or 2 years? I forget. I may have gone the first year, and then the second year, I think when they asked, I declined. But, you know, I got to thinking about it. And so these young boys are preaching. And so I think there was maybe like, I don't know, maybe three of us that were pastors. And so they're asking us to judge these young men. Well, you know what? Right at that point, you could discourage a young man. You could discourage a young Paul and write on your critique sheet, well, you know, you have really a good heart wanting to preach, but son, you're just not cut out. You know, you're not a public speaker. So I leveled with him after that. I just told him, I said, you know, I can't do this. Because who is to say if someone is called of God or not? And what if you discourage them? And so fast forward like maybe 35 years. And there was one of the younger Spanish boys at that time that was coming to the Spanish ministry in the afternoon. And on Wednesday nights, they would come sometimes. And like on Thursday nights when we were packing orders, they often came and helped with Bible courses. And one of the young men said he was going to one of the colleges that was holding a it wasn't just preaching competition, but it was all kinds of, you know, types of talent competition. And I didn't say anything to him, but he went. And one of the judges just evidently kind of leveled with him. And I think he stuttered. And you know what? This young Spanish boy, he kept saying he believed God had called him to preach. But after that competition at that college, he come back and said, I think I'm going to try to go to college and get a degree so I can be a policeman. Well, you know, if God is calling a person to be a policeman or whatever God is calling a person to, that's the thing that that person should do, because God needs his people in every different line of work. But what broke my heart is this young boy had said for years he believed God would call him to preach. And so he was just totally off it now. And I thought, that is a classic example right there. Thankfully, and I told him, when he come back, and when he come back from that competition and was talking to me, he said, he said, you know, I messed up, and there's other guys there were so much better than I was, and so I'm going in this now. And I told him then about my past experience, and I just tried to encourage him. Hey, if God has called you to it, do it. Well, anyway, right now he is preparing for the ministry, thankfully. But, you know, Paul admitted here, verse 3, you know, I was with you in weakness, in fear, in trembling, much trembling. Verse 4, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So Paul felt that way. So if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 then, not far away there, verse 26. So 1 Corinthians 1:26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen what? The foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen what? The weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things, so lowly, base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. There was a man that was born with a cleft palate, and people that are born with that have a hard time being understood to talk. And he went to, I think it was at Springfield, Missouri, to the Bible college down there many years ago now. And he believed that God had called him to preach the gospel. And so he went through the course, was graduating, and some of the leaders there at the college said, why don't you just stay here and work at the college? He said, no, God's called me to preach. And of all places where he believed God had called him to preach, was Lynchburg, Virginia, where Jerry Falwell was with a church of thousands. And it was actually the same college where Jerry Falwell was trained as well. And so the leaders of the college are trying to talk him out of it, of going, and no, God's called me to preach. In Lynchburg, Virginia? You're kidding. So he got out there, and I think it might have been the very first call he made door to door. And he had the man he was talking to could hardly understand anything he was saying. And I think he actually had to write it down for him, what he was trying to get across. And the man told him, you know, I know a surgeon that I think can help you. And so he got him in contact with him, and he got the surgery, and so he ended up being able to talk plainly. But it just, once again, when God is calling someone to do something, you might not get any encouragement to do it from anyone other than God. And it might be, people might look at it and think that you have, that you must have had a nightmare or something to ever concoct that plan that you think God called you to do. Just like that young man going to Lynchburg, Virginia. But God had called him, and that was where not only he could fulfill God's calling, but where God had aligned someone that could help him with his physical needs. So Moses felt the same way. Notice in Exodus 3. So, you know, when God is calling us to do something, we could look at so many examples. We could look at Gideon as well. You know, God called him a mighty man of valor, and it's like, you know, who are you talking about? And he felt so unworthy. He felt like God had forsaken Israel, and yet God called him. So he put out the fleece, and he put it out again. And even then, God told him before the battle, go down and hear what they say. And he did, and he was encouraged, so he did it. So many times, even King Saul, remember, you know, he was head and shoulders taller than anybody else, but he needed encouragement. He was the least. I mean, when you end up reading the book of Judges and you see what a horrible thing those people in Gibeah did to that man's concubine, it just, whenever I get to the end of the book of Judges, it's kind of, it's just a horrible story to have to read what those men did. But, and so you end up with 600 men from Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin, and that's it. That's all that's left. And so the rest of Israel then is suddenly worried about finding wives for those guys. And I'm thinking, I wouldn't have found wives for those guys. They're brutal. They're wicked. They're vile. We don't want them to multiply. But you know, it was through the tribe of Benjamin that King Saul came. And at first, that's why he said, you know, I'm the least. When Samuel talked to him, I'm the least. Our tribe is the least in Israel. And it was, because they'd almost been wiped out. And then he considered his family one of the least in Benjamin. So he didn't feel qualified to be king. And so on the day when Samuel was calling for Israel to come and that the Lord would choose the one, and the lot fell upon Saul, he was nowhere to be found. The Bible says he was hiding himself among the stuff. So he was little in his own eyes. He felt unworthy and unable, incapable of being king. And yet God did use him. The sad thing is that he didn't fully obey the Lord. And then God sought of a man after his own heart, and that was David. But there's so many examples in the scriptures of people that God used that felt incapable of doing what God was asking, and yet God gave them the strength to do it. So in Exodus 3:10, Moses felt the same way as well. Exodus 3:10, God is saying to him, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, what? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? So Moses felt the same way. God, who am I? Who am I to go before the great Pharaoh? And who am I to lead your people, the nation of Israel, who multiplied greatly? Who am I to lead them out of Egypt? He felt totally incapable. So in verse 12, and he said, so that's God. God said, certainly I will be what? With thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. So he felt incapable. And in this case, God did not tell him like some others, you know, you can do it. He said, certainly I will be with thee. And you know, that is so similar to, if you go with me to Matthew 28, it's so similar to us today. In Matthew 28, verse 18. The Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All what? Power. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." So Jesus says, all power is given unto me. And then in verse 19, he says, what? "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Now, you may say, well, if he's got all power, why is he sending me? Well, in verse 20, "teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So, God has all power, and he will be with us always to the end of the world. So, that same thing is for us today. So, let's go back to Exodus 4. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 11. Exodus 4, 11. So back dealing with Moses. Exodus 4, 11. "And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say." So, you know, when we think about it, okay, God has called me to do this or that. God, if God has called you to preach the gospel, or if God has called you to a job where you have to work with your hands, you may say, well, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. But who made these hands? God. So God can teach these hands to do it. You might be called to do something that has a lot to do with your mind. You know, maybe it's in computers or something like that. Or you have to do a lot of thinking. Maybe not so much physical work, but a lot of thinking. And you may say, well, I don't know that much about that. Maybe I don't know anything about computers. And yet, who made our minds? The mind is the greatest computer. Still, there's no batteries. You know, our whole life long, the brain works. They don't have to change the batteries, don't have to change the oil. It just goes and goes through cold and heat. You know, with computers, when they run so long and get so hot, the circuit boards tend to crack after years, or maybe the solder joints, like Brother Jim repaired our keyboard there. We use in the float in nursing home ministries, and just the solder joints got bad over the years. So just think of the complexity of the mind. And so the Lord said, you know, Moses, you don't feel like you're a good enough speaker. Well, don't worry about that. I made your mouth, and I'll teach you what to say. So we all need that. So we need to learn the lesson. Whatever role God calls us to in life, he'll give us the strength to do it. And we just need to look to him constantly. Let's go then to Numbers 11. Numbers 11. So fast forward a little bit. Moses at first refuses to do it alone. So God sends Aaron to help him. But later on, it was a year to get to the mountain and then 40 years in the wilderness. But Moses was getting frustrated. Numbers 11, verse 10. "Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the," what? "The burden of all this people upon me." Now, when we are burdened, where should we go? What should we do when we feel burdened? Well, if you'd hold your place here, let's turn to Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11. We all get feeling burdened at times. What should we do? We all get times when we feel overwhelmed. What should we do at those times? Matthew 11:28. It says what? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are what? Heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. So when we feel burdened, and like the load is just too heavy for us, we shouldn't quit. What we should do is just go to the Lord. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, it's possible to be working and dealing with a heavy load and still have joy. Ask any mother with little children. It's very possible to be burdened with a heavy load and still have joy. Ask the man at work that has responsibilities or deadlines to meet or a multitude of things. Maybe something's broke at work and the pressure's on to get it fixed. So that we all face heavy burdens, decisions to make, schedules to keep, deadlines to meet. We have to have a decision on this or that. And we all face those heavy burdens. We can't just quit. Some people do, but no, we need to go to Jesus. Verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, when we come to the Lord in those times, is the Lord going to say, I am so glad you came to me, because everyone who comes to me, I give an airplane ticket to Florida or Hawaii or the Bahamas, or just go rest under a palm tree somewhere. Well, there are times when you can get away and take a vacation. But as we see in verse 29, most of the time, that's not what God's going to do. He's going to do verse 29. It says, take my what? Yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. A yoke. And in my mind, I'm picturing a wooden device that's kind of curved and made to rest on the shoulders of two animals, the necks or the shoulders, and maybe both of the animals, to pull load. And so most of the time, God's not going to say, oh, you've got a heavy burden? Well, just take a vacation. Sometimes, but most of the time it's going to be, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So, okay, you feel burdened? Okay, let's work together then. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is what? Easy, and my burden is what? Light. You know, little children just love so much to help. We were out the front door, and little Joel was out there and pushing that big door open and holding it wide open for everyone. And children love to help, but sometimes things are too heavy for children. Maybe it's carrying a table. They want to help, but they can't carry half the weight. So, you know, you have to position yourself where their load is light. The Lord does that for us in so many ways. It's just miraculous what the Lord does. I've told you before, we ministered in the nursing homes here, and we've seen many of these people pass away. And there was one sweet lady that passed away about a year ago, and in her will, she evidently wanted the church to receive some money. And I just met her brother in the post office this week, and he was just sharing some things with me. And it's just miraculous what God does. It's absolutely miraculous how he just touches people's hearts. And, you know, we are not famous people. We are not important people in the eyes of this world. And yet, we'll see in the next service, but God delights in helping people who are not capable. And Moses felt not capable. Paul felt not capable. And yet, when you think about that, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, the scribes and Pharisees were constantly referring to two people, basically, in the Old Testament. Number one would be Abraham, and number two would be Moses. And yet, Moses felt so unqualified to lead Israel. In the New Testament, you fast forward, and people would say, well, probably the greatest missionary, apart from Jesus Christ himself, would be Paul. And yet, he felt so incapable here. And yet, God used him, and so God got the glory. But in Numbers 11, let's go back there again here. Time's about out. But Numbers 11, verse 10. Well, actually, we read 10 and 11, so let's go to verse 12 then. Numbers 11, verse 12. And Moses is speaking here. He says, "Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth a sucking child, unto the land which thou swearest unto their father?" So at first he's saying, "I can't do it, it's too big for me." And now he's saying, "These people are driving me crazy. I haven't conceived these people. I'm not the father of these rebels." Verse 13. "Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat." Verse 14, he says what? "I am not able to bear all this people," what? "Alone, because it is what? Too heavy for me." Verse 15, "And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness." So Moses is coming to this point. At first, he says, "I'm not capable." God empowers him, and he does it. And he forgives the people over and over, has patience with them. But now he's saying, I can't do it. I didn't beget all these people. They're not my children. But verse 14 cues us in here. He says, "I'm not able to bear all those people alone because it is too heavy for me." He felt alone. Despite Aaron and despite all of the leaders, you know, his father-in-law told him, you know, what you need to do so you don't have to work such long days. He says, his father-in-law told him, "You can't do this alone. You need to make judges of thousands and hundreds and tens. So you need to get this broke down, Moses." And so little groups go to this man. Little larger groups go to this man. Big groups go to this man. So you don't have to do it yourself alone. You're going to wear away. Well, so he listened to his father-in-law. We never see that God condoned that. God never told him to do that plan. But he listened to his father-in-law and set it up. And you know what? It didn't help a bit. He still felt all alone, verse 14. "I am not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me." So what does God do? Moses feels alone. But remember when God said, when Moses had said, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh?" And God responds to him, "I will be with thee." Well, Moses forgot that, because verse 14, he's saying, "I can't do it alone anymore." So in verse 16, "And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me," what? 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon who? Upon thee, and will put it upon who? Upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. So Moses is saying, I can't do it. This burden is too heavy for me. God says, okay, I'll take of the Spirit which is upon you. The power of the Spirit I put upon you. And I will take that same power that I put upon you, and I'll put it on 70 men. I wonder when God said that to him, I wonder if he thought, uh-oh, what did I do? Was I complaining? God had given me all that power to lead this people. And now I'm saying it's too much. So he's going to take that same amount of power and spread it over 70 men. And I've often thought about that. Reading through this, I've often thought when I've been a heavy burden with something, I've often thought, I am not going to complain to the Lord, because remember Moses. Moses started complaining and God had given him the power, but he just wasn't coming to the Lord with his burdens like he should have before this point. Yeah, he came to the Lord with his burden, but when he was ready to quit, when he just felt overwhelmed. And so God gave him the power. So, well, our time is up here, but so I just hope that'll encourage us this week. Whatever God calls us to do, you mark it down, probably some people or maybe a lot of people are not going to understand. If you were to ask them, hey, I got this idea. God's calling me to do something. What about it? Paul would have never preached then. He was not a good public speaker. Moses would not have led Israel out of Egypt. He felt totally unqualified. Gideon would have never fought in the battle. He felt totally unqualified. Saul would have never been king over Israel. He felt totally unqualified. So I pray the Lord would encourage us to humbly serve him and not to trust in our own power, but in his. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, when you use little people, that you can get more glory, because many people will know that we don't have great talents and abilities. But Lord, we do come to you asking, Lord, that you would use us. We look at our nation just crumbling around us, deeper and deeper into sin and problems. And Father, we have no power to change anything. There are people in this world that are very powerful, very wealthy, and very wicked. And Father, we have no personal power to overcome these problems. But Lord, I pray that you would encourage our hearts today, that what you call us to do, you will give the strength and you will give the power. And Lord, help us to never complain, but to be thankful that we have something, some way that we can serve you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Next service, about 7-8 minutes, Lord willing. Okay.